You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
I'm a little upset with Rick. I'll tell you why in a moment, but I'd like to say good morning to Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. I'm good.
I'm
good. No, I'm good. I'm good, Dave. I'm good. It's a good day. I wanted to say I'm looking forward to the weekend, week 9 in the NFL, but as a New York football fan, you can't say that. I will say
it was
nice.
The Jets don't play until Monday night. You can have the weekend free of the Jets angst.
Yeah, that just means I can lock in on the Giants on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Exactly. That's my whole point. But I will say this. It was nice to watch something other than election coverage last night. Even though I wasn't familiar with Richie James and River Craycraft's work, you know, it was still fun to watch the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams do their thing.
Like Rick said yesterday, and good morning, Rick, even bad football, even guys you're not familiar with, they put on those uniforms, it's still enjoyable.
Yeah, it was. I thought last night, especially in the first half, was an entertaining ball game.
It really
Davante Adams put on a show.
He's awesome. All right, Rick, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm disgusted with myself, Dave.
See?
I'm disgusted.
And I'm angry at you.
Well, of course you're angry, because, I get it. I felt the same exact way. I could have added some excitement to last night's game, some juice in that game.
You have no marbles!
Yeah, he's right. Tanaka's right. I have no marbles. I embarrass myself.
You go to the box, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame.
Santiago is very aggressive with the drops today, by the way.
Because he knows.
Very aggressive with the drops.
Denny
but
knows.
I will say this. Rick saved me from myself yesterday.
And that's what should have even put you over the top. If you were uncertain, Rick. If you were like, I like Green Bay, but I'm not sure. Can't just like, if you take Green Bay, I'll take San Fran. That should have said, okay, I have no choice but to.
No, I know. But then you said that. And the second Canty said he liked the Niners, it had me all twisted up. Because at some point, like, Canty can't be this bad at picking games. Like, the fortune is going to have to turn. And the fact that you didn't jump on with me, because I know you love Aaron Rodgers and you like Green Bay.
I get too nervous with the Thursday night games, though.
Well,
I can't do these standalone games. And if I lose on Thursday, now the next few days are ruined. I can't do that. It's too much for me. But you're better than me. You should have taken Green Bay last night. It was a laugher.
I know I should have. What is Nick Mullins doing making that throw, though? It's 3rd and 16. Stop it.
He's about to get crushed. What do you mean? What is he doing?
Hold on to the ball.
That
take
throw.
The sack.
Let me throw the ball.
Take it. Take the sack. Come on.
You played hot potato before. Come on,
and
man.
River Craycraft. Come on. Come down with that. You got 2 feet in. Hold on to the football, please. Joke.
You mentioned it, though. How good is Davante Adams? Oh,
he's awesome.
Sensational.
Dave, he might be the best receiver in football right now.
He thinks so.
No, I mean, he's putting together the season to back it up.
Yeah, no, he's great.
I mean, there hasn't been a receiver in the history of the NFL to have 3 games in the first 8 games of the season where he goes for 10-plus catches and 150-plus yards. The only other receiver to do it in a season was Calvin Johnson. That's it. Yeah, I mean, right. It's an unbelievable year that he's having. I mean, and against press coverage, forget about it.
And what makes it more impressive to me is, if you go into any Packers game, who's the one guy that you have to slow down?
Davante Adams. But, Dave, you're just leading me to my point, because that's a different offense when Aaron Jones is on the field, because it creates more opportunities for Davante Adams. You look at the first few drives for the Packers, they were feeding Aaron Jones. And he didn't have a big stat night. I think he had like 20 touches for 80 yards. But you saw his impact on the game. The first 3 possessions he was in, he counted for 4 first downs, and the Packers scored 2 touchdowns out of those 3 drives. So, I mean, like, Aaron Jones is a difference maker, and if that defense comes up to try to slow him down, that's when Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams hit you over the head, over the top, and you saw that on the first drive last night. It's an unbelievable catch he made, too. Unbelievable catch.
He really is a different level receiver. Could you imagine if they had another great receiver, but another receiver you looked at, you're like, oh, God, this guy's terrifying, too? Or this guy's scary.
Well, that's why Rick was so adamant about the Packers making a move at the deadline. Like, think about a guy like Will Fuller on an expiring contract down in Houston. Like, it would have made all the sense in the world to try to make that move. Now, Will Fuller does have an injury history, but, I mean, Will Fuller having that speed element opposite of Davante Adams? Man, that could be a problem.
Well, it's
that
funny, too, how players... Canty, you know this. It's funny how players with injury histories all of a sudden stay healthy when it's time to get paid. Team. No, when it's
I
time to get
that,
paid.
Though, right? Right. Nothing yeah. motivates a guy like fresh cash.
Yeah, contract year? Oh, I'll play all 16 contract year. Even on the defensive side of the ball, it would aggravate me. I mean, there's a huge opportunity in the NFC. The Saints aren't as good as we thought they would be.
Mm-mm.
Drew Brees is dealing with a shoulder injury now.
Every team in the NFC is flawed. Seattle's defense stinks, and I know it'll get better as they get healthier, mm-hmm. but it's not good.
No, it's not good. But here's the one thing I will say about adding a piece on the defensive side, Rico. Like, I get what you're saying. It's clearly a need, but I don't know that adding one player would do enough to make that defense markedly better. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know,
well, I know
if
there
was
saying,
one guy that you could add.
Try doing something. I mean, even just to change the narrative.
I would have wanted to make my strength even stronger. That's why I say, you know,
I would like do both. I would have done both. Position. You got the best. Yeah. I mean, you got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I would have done both.
Yeah.
Like, I know you love your draft picks, but I mean, come on. At a certain point, like, this is the time to seize the moment. It's
well,
really it's you and it's the Bucs.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you trade for a guy like Will Fuller and it would have worked out, then you can sign him to an extension. And guess what? Not only does it help Aaron Rodgers and help you compete in the twilight of his career, but when you get ready to break in Jordan Love, he's got two bona fide weapons on the outside that are going to make the game a whole lot easier for him. I don't know. I was just, you know, those were my thoughts as I was watching that
but
game.
But the other thing that aggravates me, too, is you have two legitimate running backs. Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams are two good running backs.
Aaron Jones yes. is a star.
And then you draft it in the second round, you take another running back. So you trade it up for a quarterback, which you don't need, and then you drafted a running back in the second round that you don't need.
It's odd.
I don't know. Listen,
Rico, I didn't believe in Aaron Jones at first, but seeing him doing it again this year, like, it's just I thought last year he was a flash in the pan, I'm going to be honest with you. But actually watching the Packers with him healthy and seeing all the things that he can do, I mean, there really isn't anything that he can't do that you would want your running back to do.
Could we also
– I mean, you want to split him out and run routes as a receiver, he can do that.
Could we also –
You can do that with Aaron Jones.
Oh, no. He's like – he reminds me of Alvin Kamara.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, that's that kind of running back.
He's a lesser version of Alvin Kamara, but, I mean, slightly lesser. That's not a knock on him.
Can we just take a moment? And I don't want to spend too much time on the Jets or killing the Jets. But can we look at what happened yesterday? Did you – I mean, you guys watched the game. You listened to it. The fact that they made a point to say when they had spoken to Kyle Shanahan, the entire game plan was already done. Like, Ayuk was going to get 85% of the play. Like, it was done.
Right.
But they had to tear it up because of COVID and come up with this, and they still managed to score. I mean, it's only 17 points. But I got Richie. Have you heard of Richie James before?
Never
no.
heard of,
no, not familiar with his work.
Goes for 9 and 184. They had nobody on offense. They, and right. Nick, and a backup quarterback.
Yeah. Listen, how many more times do you need to see it from other teams to know how frustrating it is with the Jets? Like, you're there. It's happened. This regime with the Jets, what they do now is it does not work. They're not as competent as almost probably any other team in the NFL at just handling adversity.
Not even adversity, just being good at what you're, I mean, just being good
no,
at
I'm
your
saying,
job.
Like adversity, like having your entire team, you know, not able to play 2 days before the game is adversity. And look, they got blown out of the game, but you watch the first, I don't know, quarter plus, and San Fran was in that game until that interception.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, but the Jets can't make it. When there's no adversity, they can't make it work.
Well, that's my point.
Forget when they actually have adversity. Like, Kyle Shanahan found some way to be competitive last night, to actually to move the football without anybody on the team that actually touched the ball in last year's NFC Championship game. And they were up against one of the best teams in the NFC.
Yeah.
Listening to KJZ this morning, and I know Keyshawn probably gets paid by USC to say nice things about USC players. if you really like Sam Darnold, set him free. You shouldn't be beating the drum that the Jets should keep Sam Darnold.
He won't be here.
He won't be here. But the thing that I don't understand is, if you got to give the kid an extra day just to see how he feels with the shoulder, why are you even considering putting him out there on Monday night? Like, why would you risk him having some kind of significant injury that devalues him on the open trade market. Like, why would you why would you even do that? That's the part that makes no sense to me. Isn't that why you went and got a capable backup? So in case Sam has to miss games for whatever reason this upcoming season, that you had somebody that could step in? I don't understand why risk putting Sam in harm's way if you know that more likely than not, you're probably going to move on from him.
Because unfortunately, I don't think they know what they're doing. And Sam wouldn't be the first one. I mean, we had Mekhi Becton out there for some reason. We're still trying to figure that out.
Why was he even dressed on that Thursday night?
No one has any idea.
Why was he even dressed? If he was only going to give you three or four snaps, why was he even dressed? That made no sense.
None. That was worse than this. At least this guy's like healthy-ish.
No, but this could get worse, Dave. This is an AC joint in your
that's not good.
Throwing shoulder.
So would you shut him down for the season?
Well, no, you know what happens.
Shut him down until he gets better?
No. When you keep separating your shoulder, you start doing damage to the labrum in your shoulder.
The capsule, yeah.
The capsule inside your shoulder. Mm-hmm. Which means now all of a sudden you bring into, you know, God forbid he gets hit again and he does damage to his labrum. Now you're missing a full year to try
and
to come back.
I'm telling you, and you guys will agree, if you lose him for a year and you now can't trade him,
Forget not trading him. That's bad for the Jets. That would be terrible for Sam Donald.
Terrible.
Whoever's advising him needs to pull him aside and say, hey, listen, you need to get yourself right. You're not in the long-term plans right now, the New York Jets. You got to be, I know you're not a selfish person, and you're all about the team and trying to prove how tough you are, but this is one of those moments where you got to take a step back and realize what's in your best interest.
Yeah, you want his agent to save him from himself. Like
his agent, his parents, somebody.
Somebody. Because, I mean, everybody's reading the tea leaves. You know, if the team continues on this trajectory, they're going to have the number one overall pick. And if they do, they're probably going to take Trevor Lawrence. So why would you continue to get your head beat in and compromise your long-term health, your long-term career for a team that's not going anywhere?
But
that
you
doesn't
know
make
why.
Any sense.
You know why? Because he loves football. And he wants to be the quarterback, and he wants to be playing football games right now.
Well, if you love football, you need to take a long-range view of this thing, big picture view. Because if you go out there and you get hurt, guess what? You're not going to be any good to anybody, and you're probably not going to be playing football that long. Especially if you do significant damage to your throwing shoulder.
But you've been caught up in the moment. I mean, you guys
know, but this is why.
I've been caught up in the moment, but it's
right.
Like, okay, if I'm banged up, I'll go out there and give it a try for my teammates. Because we're trying to still accomplish something. I'm not going out there if I'm dealing with something that's significant and my team is over through the first half of the season. That's when you see teams start throwing guys on IR. Yeah, we're going to put you on IR, because it's not worth it. I get that Sam loves football, and I understand you want to be out there as much as you can, but Sam has got to be smart about this thing. Sam has got a $150 million lottery ticket in his right shoulder. And if he does something to mess that up, guess what? That goes away. But if you're the Jets, I don't understand why you're even putting him out there and letting him marginalize his health, knowing that he's got something going on in that shoulder, knowing that you're probably going to move on from him.
But because he probably gives you the best chance to win. And as crazy as it sounds right now, Adam Gase wants to win football games.
But if you're Joe Douglas, do you really want to win games? Is it really about winning games at this point? Or is it more more about evaluating the talent that you have on his roster?
No, I don't think it is. But I agree with you that he probably shouldn't play. But I understand why Adam Gase and Sam Darnold would be pushing to play on Monday.
Sure. Okay.
I do. I mean, come on, Rick. If day of a game and you're not 100% healthy, are you going to fight to play or not play? If your team is 9-27-3, are you thinking about 2 years down the road or that day? Do you want to play?
No, I mean that's the reason why I'm retired now.
Exactly.
I mean that was my biggest downfall because I had no one to grab me and pull me aside and say, "Hey, this isn't worth it." This was me deciding that it was a good idea because I was hell bent on starting the season.
And you love
to play?
It.
Well, no, to play the third period of an exhibition game to prove to them that I could start the season, and then I completely blew my knee out.
But you're talking to somebody that's done it.
How smart
before.
Is that?
And that's why he's telling Sam to make a different decision.
This is why you pay your agent.
The Jets to do something different.
This is why you pay your agent.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong.
No, I know I'm right. You don't have to think I'm wrong. I know I'm right. I lived this movie. Did you listen to what Lewis Riddick had to say about the Jets?
It
wasn't
he
good. He destroyed the Jets.
Well,
destroyed
how could
them.
Not? How
well,
you
have
analyze
to
the
point.
Jets right now, anybody, and not destroy them?
But this isn't the first time. I mean, remember last year, too. This isn't as far as, you know, how they handle injuries and everything else, how poorly they handle injuries. This isn't the first. I mean, this is not the first time something like this has happened with the Jets.
No,
this is multiple occasions of this.
But this is what bad organizations do.
Which is exactly why, I mean, because it doesn't look like Sam is part of their future plans and needs to look out for himself. I hate saying that because that's not who I was. But, I mean, having lived
it. But ironically, Rico, him looking out for himself is also looking out for the organization. In a strange way, when you think about it. Because if Sam is healthy going into the offseason, that means that you're going to have an opportunity to fetch the highest possible price in a trade with another team for him. If he's not healthy, how can you move him? You can't.
No, you can't.
So I just
this would have to be the head coach making the decision.
Circumstances where the player not playing is actually in the organization's best interest.
But of course, Adam Gase wants him to play. Think about it from that aspect for a moment. Why would Adam Gase not want? Adam Gase is hemorrhaging. They're 0-8. They're the laughingstock of the NFL. This guy realizes if things don't turn around and quickly, that he might never have any coaching job ever again in the NFL. So he's at most has 8 games to prove something. Why would he, of course, not push Sam Darnold to go and play this Monday night?
No, I mean, Adam Gase would want that. But, I mean, Adam Gase is probably not going to be your head coach after the next 8 games. So, I mean, I understand why Adam Gase wants to play him. But if I'm the general manager, I got to take a big picture view of everything. And I got to make sure that this kid is healthy going into the offseason so I can move him. Because the reality is they're not going to win any games, Dave. No. Their best chance to win a game for the rest of the season, their best chance to win a game is on Monday night at home against the Patriots. That's their best
their
chance.
Best chance to win a game is prime time against the Patriots.
That's their Belichick. Best chance to win a game.
I know. How crazy is that, though?
It is
it's crazy.
Crazy.
It's 2020, man. I mean, they actually missed their best opportunity. It was the Denver game to win the game. That was the game they needed to win. And we'll see what happens on Monday.
You mean third-string quarterback, short week, travel across country, that all those things?
Had thrown nine career passes.
We're not in Denver's favor, were they?
Yeah, but the other thing, too, is, I mean, as far as moving on from Sam Darnold, it's in his best interest. You reset the money. I mean, you're going to have a new head coach. It'll be another new system for Sam. And I think unfortunately, the damage has already been done with Sam. Like, he needs a change of scenery.
He needs to go to a functional organization.
Yes.
A team that already has the infrastructure in place.
Saints,
a team that's
Steelers,
already competitive. That's where he needs
Colts.
To go.
Colts.
Yes. Saints,
I would
Steelers,
love him with
Colts.
The 49ers. I would
Niners.
Love him
Niners,
with the 49ers.
Yes. Oh, could you imagine
I would
him in
love
that
him
offense?
With the 49ers.
Be terrific in that offense.
Yeah.
Actually, have some pre-snap motion, all sorts of fun things that NFLs do, NFL teams do.
You watch Nick Mullins at times, you're like, boy, he's not bad. Right?
Yes, you're right, Dave, but Nick Mullins is clearly a backup quarterback. Imagine
that's
what Sam
exactly
Darnold would look like.
The fact that they can take Nick Mullins and you watch him, and there's many times where you watch him, you're like, boy, this guy's not bad, proves my point. If you put Sam Darnold there with legitimate weapons, I think it changes immediately.
Well, his skill set, Dave, is exactly what Kyle Shanahan is looking for. Sam is more athletic than people give him credit for. I mean, we saw it with that run that he had. What was that, on the Thursday night game where he took off the middle? Like, that was an unbelievable run. That was a 50-yard run. I mean, so Sam has the ability to use his legs when he gets out on the edge of a defense. And, I mean, you couple that with the stretch zone scheme that they run, all the boots and the spread outs off of that, come on, man. Like, that offense would be deadly.
I agree.
It's just at this point, if you like Sam Darnold as a Jets fan, you should root for the team not to win any more games so they have the number one pick and Sam can go somewhere else and jumpstart his career.
But I think if you're a Jets fan, and this is selfish of me, and I will say this, ultimately, do I really care about Sam Darnold? Like, yeah, in a perfect world, do I want it to work out for him? Sure. But I'm about me. I'm about the Jets. So I want to do what's best
for
me.
Well, you're going to get Trevor Lawrence. That's what's in it for you. So, I mean, you could root for Sam to want to go somewhere else, and you can root for your team to continue to lose games, which I don't think you have to root hard for because that's going to happen, and you're going to have a number one overall pick. And you're going to have a brand-new head coach, and you actually get to pair the head coach with the rookie quarterback. How's that for a change?
What a novel idea that'll be, huh?
I'm telling you, man.
Brilliant. A new coach, a new quarterback, a new system.
You have an opportunity to try to do it the right way. To try to reset the franchise and do things the right way. or the conventional way.
What you thought you did when you drafted Sam Darnold with a third overall pick.
No, you didn't, because you had a coach that was going into
a lame duck year.
Going into a year, he was a hot seat.
Awesome.
Yeah, come on, man.
It's great.
Doing the right thing.
It's bad. All right, let's get to a call or two.
Dave, the one thing that is abundantly clear with what we've seen so far in 2020 with the pandemic and everything else, all these sports leagues is, it's not about what's in the best interest of the player. It's not in what's in the best interest of Sam Darnold in this situation. It's going to be what's in the best interest for the New York Jets and how much money the New York Jets can make.
But, Rico, isn't it one and the same
in
this specific instance?
Yeah, because that's what they mean. They're going to have, as bad as this season was, and just speaking, I mean, as a Jets fan myself, if all of a sudden you wheel out a new head coach with the first overall pick being Trevor Lawrence, the fan base will be excited. As
and
bad
you
as the season
be excited.
Was. No, we
you
will be excited.
You've heard what people have said about Trevor Lawrence, that this is a generational quarterback, that this is the best quarterback since Andrew Luck. I'm not saying it's going to work out.
No, but that's exactly why. But that's exactly why anyone who's making the argument that Sam Darnold's going to be here or Adam Gase could possibly be the head coach, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
You cannot sell that to your fan base. You can't. You can't win one game or no games and then try to repackage Adam Gase and Sam Darnold.
But are you worried about that?
No, I'm not worried about it, but you've heard that. Oh, I'm a little nervous. Adam Gase could be back. No, Adam Gase is not going to be back.
You can't bring a guy back that's going to go 1-15 or 0-16. You can't.
And they won't.
So I don't listen. You could say they're dysfunctional, and I think there's merit to that sometimes. But that they're not going to bring Adam Gase back. You can't do that.
I agree with you. I've maintained that the entire time. That's not the opinion of everybody. Which amazes me.
People get nervous.
Well, how could you get at this point? How could you get nervous?
Listen,
how much more do you need to see?
Stepping back and looking at it from a rational standpoint, he's not going to be here. But when you're that in and you're that invested and you love him that much, I can understand. I'm nervous. Gettleman's going to be back. I have no reason to think he's going to be back next year.
Yeah, but Gettleman actually, I mean, your team is competitive, and the moves he made this offseason have actually been good moves.
But the one thing we've hung our hat on.
They've been good moves.
The one thing we've hung our hat on is, oh, well, Daniel Jones, see, that's his lasting effect. Well, you know what? He might stink. Gettleman has been awful. And anybody that tries to sell me a different narrative, I do not agree with you.
Not to mention he has a first-round pick at corner that's facing.
That's gone.
Serious charges
that's
in
gone.
The state of Florida.
That you traded up for.
Armed robbery. Oh,
so
boy.
I don't agree with that. But I understand why Gettleman
hadn't done a good job, Dave.
No, he's not done a good job. But I understand why the fan who's so highly invested sometimes can't look at it rationally. Because you care so much.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the fan being rational. The fans don't have TV shows and radio shows.
Well, I can't speak for a lot of members of the media.
But you've heard those opinions, is what I'm saying.
I have, and I think they're insane.
If it was up to the fan, you want to put it on the fan base. That if it was up to the fan base and strictly up to the fan base, Adam Gase would have been fired already.
Oh, yeah. Go.
I mean, I don't know. That's not even a question.
You can't bring him back.
They're not going to bring him back.
No, I know they're not. All right, let's get to a call or two, and then we'll switch over to the Giants in a couple minutes. And Giants and Washington, actually, I guess a big game on Sunday. Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. Lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, fellas. And by the way, everybody have a safe and happy weekend. You know, what Sam needs to do, he needs to pick up the phone and call Chad Pennington and have a conversation with him. Much different circumstances. The Jets were good then. They were in a playoff hunt, and Chad played through a bum shoulder and ended up having the rotator cuff surgery. And I'm sure playing through it, even though nobody will ever say it, his arm was getting weaker and weaker as the year went on. I'll bet anything, however this turns out, he'll have some sort of procedure at the end of the year. And I think for him to go out Monday night and play, number one, it's a big career move on his part. Number two, forget about what Adam Gase wants to do because he's not going to be back. So that shouldn't be in the equation here. The general manager needs to step down and say, you know what? What am I gaining here? Am I going to win a game or am I going to take the risk that I'm going to get less trade value for my quarterback if he continues to play or gets hurt? They have the luxury of a bye week after the Patriot game. If you want to play him for the rest of the year, give him a good 2 weeks, 3 weeks to sit and heal and see where he's at. putting him out there Monday night, especially, I don't care how bad the Patriots might be in our eyes right now, he's still dealing with Bill Belichick and his defense. And what has Donald done in a couple of games against Belichick? Zero.
See ghost.
But what's the point? If he goes out there and puts up another ghost game, then forget about if he injures his shoulder or not. You're lucky if you get a fifth-round pick for this guy. There is no advantage to play him Monday night.
Yeah, but as far as his trade value is concerned anyway, I mean, I have a hard time believing. If you have the first overall pick and everyone knows that you're going to take Trevor Lawrence, how much are you going to get for Sam Darnold anyway?
I think you'll get something of value. I think you'll get a pick of value.
Yeah, you'll get a three.
Yeah,
I think the three.
Yeah, that's great.
Right now.
Your third overall pick that you gave up 3 second-round picks, you're going to get you'll get a third round.
Well,
awesome.
Listen, you have to make the best of a bad situation.
It's great.
Would you rather get a three or would you rather get nothing for him?
I would rather Sam Darnold be my franchise quarterback, but
well,
that ship has sailed.
I'm sorry. That is not.
This
a
is a perfect situation too. If you had a competent head coach, is that you let Sam try to come back, and then you say no. I appreciate you wanting to come back, be with your teammates. I'm not letting you do it. I'm not going to let you do it. It makes no sense for you to do this.
Well, Rick, the kid got slammed down on his shoulder. He probably separated his shoulder in the Thursday night game. They let him go back in the game, but he didn't play the following week.
Well, I knew that was going to happen. As soon as that's one of those. If he can get through the game, he can get through it because he's going to have to miss time after that. But this is one of those. He was holding his arm up in the last game. Like, he clearly hurt himself again.
Yeah, it makes no sense. But and thanks to the call, Ira. That making no sense makes perfect sense for this franchise.
At the moment, you're right. Yeah.
Making no sense makes perfect sense. This is the best way I can sum it up.
Yeah, but again, when is Adam Gase? It's too late for him. I mean, he's done here, and who knows if he'll ever get another job. Like, the fact that he's approaching the situation with Sam the way he's approaching it, oh, he's so tough. Yeah, there's no way I'll be able to hold him out. This is why he does not have good relationships with his players. Because his players know he could care less about them. They're just the pieces in his system.
Especially now that he's drowning.
And even in Miami, the players knew. He has no interest in having, you know, a personal relationship with his players.
You know. You know when the coach is out for you or against you or is
well, the second on your the side. Second you start talking about a player's money, Lev Bell's getting paid too much. Oh, how do you think that goes over in the locker room?
Not well.
Not
and
well.
Then you start posting fines on a flat screen TV. Come on, man.
I mentioned that last year, and I said to Chris, "You ever heard of anything like this?" And he was like, "This didn't happen." I said, "It happened. Look," and he looked up. He's like, "I can't even believe that."
Well, the only one that heard about it is the only one that heard about it was Tannenbaum because he was in Miami with Gase.
It's a clown show. It's a clown show. But listen, we were against it when they hired Adam Gase. So, I mean, we've been talking about this for years at this point. Like, they've got to move on from Adam Gase. We know that. And until they do, it's not going to look any better.
Let's go to one more quick one. Richie in Massapequa. What's up, Rich? Oh, Rich apparently is dropped. We're having phone issues, if you haven't noticed, the last couple days. But we're working on them tremendously.
We're moving, baby. We're moving.
We are. We're moving into bigger, better studios. Not that we will go to those studios, but I hear we're moving to bigger, better studios.
The fingers crossed we'll never see.
Yeah, I haven't seen you since March.
Yeah, I mean, that was the last time.
Right?
But now it's a two-hour show. Could you imagine how much time I would spend in the car with a two-hour show now that's moved up an hour?
Right, so you'd probably have to leave your house around 6:15.
Yeah, at the latest, 6:15.
Get in by 7:45 or 8.
You more know, like 8:15, 8:30
for an hour and 15 minutes, and then the show's over at 11, and you'd leave then. Spend another hour in the car. Yeah, you
no more the stop at another hour. You're full
at 11. How long did it take you to get home when you leave at 11?
I've never left at 11.
Exactly.
That's the problem. I think that's still in it.
It's a solid hour and a half.
Going home.
At least.
So yeah,
I've went back home with Rico a couple of times. It's like an hour and a half.
So you
it's not
think
a game.
If and when we wind
six
up
hours.
In these new studios, you're looking at not 6 hours.
I would say two and a half to three in the morning.
Time?
No, we'll say 2.5 in the morning and then an hour and a half. Hour and a half.
I'll give you
five
three
hours.
And a half to four. I'll give you
no, I'd say
six.
Five. I would say five. You're looking at least two Poland Spring bottle situations. A wow. commute. At least.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. All right.
I go 495. Look it up. During the break, God. Look up. Worst roads in America. I'm on two
I
of them.
Grew up
the Cross Bronx.
A quarter mile from 495. I know all about it.
The Cross
and
Bronx.
The Cross Bronx.
The Cross Bronx is the seventh circle
the worst.
Of hell.
The Cross
the seven
Bronx
circle of hell. Yeah.
Is
who thought
worst.
It was a good idea, by the way? On the Cross Bronx, who thought it was a good idea to have the 18-wheelers have to come from all the way on the right side of the road, merge all the way to the left side of the highway to get on the bridge?
It's the worst road.
Who drew that up?
In America.
Adam Gase.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then we'll merge them all the way to the left from the right.
Unbelievable.
And you know what's the worst about the Cross Bronx? There's that Everything? Stretch where it's always wide open, and then you're like, hey, look at this. I'm moving. And you always have that thought, and then all of a sudden, boom, and it stops, and it takes you another hour.
Yeah, well, the best is when you get when you actually get into an accident in the left lane of the Cross Bronx. That's always fun. That was great.
Well, you hit a car.
Well, that's because I almost peed my pants. I'm not going to tell you.
Well, that doesn't mean you should be.
I started peeing all over myself, and I took my foot off the brake for a second.
I'm glad we got to spend so much time together after you had urinated all over yourself. Did you tell us that, by the way?
I did tell you that.
So you came into the studio and you said, by the way, guys, don't come near me. I've got urine all over myself.
Well, no, it was dry at that point. I mean,
but
I didn't think it smelled.
I think that stuff we should know. But I think that's stuff we should know.
I think I told you on the air that I peed all over myself. All of a sudden, the traffic was dead stopped. I'm like, this is the perfect time. I open up the bottle. I start. I'm midstream. You know I can't stop once I start. And
well,
then all of a
nobody
sudden,
can. It's unhealthy. Well, then I got like a stop and a sneeze.
I got 100 yards in front of me. I got a semi behind me wailing on the horn, and I freaked out a little bit. So I started going, and then just pee started going everywhere, and I lost it.
So as there's pee flying all over your car, you now smash into a car in front of you.
Correct.
Ugh.
And dump the pee bottle, and I was peeing and dumping the pee bottle at the same. It was ugly.
Doesn't sound good. Neither are the Jets. 800-919-3776. As always, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on DCR, PRV, the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. How about this for news? I just saw this, and now it's vanished. John Heyman. I mean, buy me a second, would you? Why don't you guys say something?
Is this that Francisco Lindor written all over it, I'm hoping?
No.
Alex Cora
is Red back Sox. As the manager of the Boston Red Sox, according to John.
That's no
Heyman.
Surprise.
Not a surprise.
No.
Yeah.
But talk about the perfect year. It's almost a throwaway year. He serves his suspension. The Red Sox are terrible. Nobody even cares. And now you bring him back and he's running your organization again.
Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind. Served his penance and then you bring him back.
Yeah. It's perfect.
I would have loved to see the Mets go after him.
I would have as well. Well, we'll see what the Mets are going to do. We'll get into it a little bit. We'll get into it a little bit. Let's get into the Giants. We'll get into the baseball. And then, of course, we got R.J. Bell, who brings his 2-6 record on the year to our show at 10 o'clock. Then, of course, Paul Feinbaum.
Did you hear him yesterday?
No.
Kay was heated yesterday.
Well, Kay was...
The Browns Raiders pick?
I guess it was Monday. Kay was destroying R.J.
Yeah.
Kay's been taken like as one of his picks. He'll take one of RJ's picks. So RJ had the Browns, which he lost. But then what made it worse yesterday was he's like, okay, RJ, give me your makeout pick. And he's like, and he starts giving over unders. And Kay's like, no, we don't do over unders. I need a pick of a game. He wouldn't give it to me. He goes, well, what about tonight? He goes, it could go two ways. Either Green Bay will blow them out or San Francisco will cover.
Of course it could only go
Well, what
go
kind of analysis
ways.
Is that?
Exactly.
I could do that, too. What do you think about the Giants in Washington this weekend? Well, Giants will win or they won't. buy my analysis package here. I mean, come
could
on.
Go two ways.
Could go two ways. Green Bay can win big or they won't.
See, but that's what I'm saying. This is a tough week, and I told you what he does. He really thinks that all the people in the Super Contest listen to everything he says. And that John was like, well, maybe he doesn't like any of these games. I'm like, no, he has to like at least five of the games. He's got to make five picks for the Super Contest.
Yes. And there's no way he doesn't feel a way about one game now.
Exactly.
But
yeah,
you
know, this
like
is a tough. This is a tough week. He's coming off a bad week in the Super Contest. He's sneaky like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, the guy, when he texts you, it vanishes from your phone minutes later. He's the definition of sneaky.
I love that. I got to get that software.
Yeah, we can ask him. We'll get to the baseball in a minute as well. Andy from Merrick is all lined up and ready to go with his questions of the day. Even I know Friday is football with Andy from Merrick. So even me who pays attention to nothing with Andy knows that. I'm ready for
this. This is your segment, though.
I'm good at answering the questions, but as far as knowing what sport he's going to ask on any specific day is where I run into a little bit of trouble.
You know what would be a great bit for the show?
A bit.
And they probably never let us do it, is that we should get the phone numbers for the radio shows everywhere, New York, whatever state it is, get the phone numbers of the shows during our same time slot, and we just call us and challenge them to trivia.
But how do you think that would go over? Like, if somebody called us and tried to challenge us to trivia, you think we would pay mind to that or just be like, all right, we don't have time for this?
If a show called us and challenged Dave Rothenberg to trivia, we always got time for it because we're going to win.
We're going to win.
As our show, what are we afraid of? Yeah, we're challenging other shows.
Yeah, but no other show could compete with us.
Well, that's exactly right.
No other show has Dave Rothenberg.
That's true. Yeah. I like it.
Could you imagine that? We're just showing you off. That would get some attention.
That would get attention. I like it.
Food for thought. Just think about it.
I'd love to. Be great.
This is what I do with all the
We could even simulcast the shows. If it was an ESPN show, we could put our show on their show and combine it for those like 10 minutes.
Cross promotion, the whole nine.
Yeah.
That's just how good you are. I mean, there aren't a lot of things that I'm that confident about. You and trivia, I am that confident.
All right, so Andy from Merrick coming our way in a couple moments. I want to get into this article from ESPN.com in a moment, but I was thinking about this, and I can't believe I keep getting sucked back in, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
But we really don't know what's going to happen with the Giants. Like, this could go one of two ways, where they have a decent second half and Jones gets better, and you look at next season, you have some real optimism, because you know second half really carries over to the following year. Or... Mm-hmm. I mean, if they lose this game specifically, like the remainder games, you could argue this is the easiest one. Maybe this Cincinnati, but I don't think that's specifically an easy game.
No, I don't.
This
either.
Could tumble and spiral out of control if the Giants don't win this game on Sunday.
Now, this is a big game for Daniel Jones. Now, fortunately for him, this is the one team in the NFC East he's been able to beat. But I mean, we talked about it in the game that they played a few weeks ago against the Washington football team. From a matchup standpoint, you worry about it a little bit. Because Washington has a defensive line that can get after the quarterback. Now, they're going to be missing a couple of guys. I mean, Matt Ioannidis is on IR with a bicep, and you know, we'll see what happens with Montez Sweat. He practiced yesterday, but he's coming back from a concussion. But, I mean, that defensive front, when healthy, can get after the quarterback. And the Giants' offensive line, according to PFF, has the worst pass-blocking grade in football. So, I mean, that's the one thing that you worry about. Is that front going to put pressure on Daniel Jones and force him into some turnovers? Because let's face it, Washington's offense has been an uphill battle. They've struggled almost worse than the Giants have struggled. But the one thing that would be the equalizer is the turnovers. And Daniel Jones can't afford to give this Washington offense extra possessions and make it easier for them to score points. That can't be the story of what happens on Sunday in Washington.
Well, that was the difference in the last game, outside of the ridiculous, you know, let's go for two, that ended up costing the game. But it was Tay Crowder's scoop and score.
Yeah, fumble six, yeah.
That was the difference. I mean, throwing the ball, Daniel Jones was bad in the Washington game. It was not good.
No.
And he threw for 112 yards.
They put up 13 points.
But, Rick, yeah, Washington has been doing that to every quarterback. They have the best pass defense in the NFL.
No, I know. I agree with what you're saying. Just to further your point, it's going to come down to you got Dolphin hands going up against Daniel Jones. Like who makes the big mistake in the big moment?
But I mean, for God's sakes, and I understand that Washington has a talented defense. You're Daniel Jones going up against a guy that you know probably shouldn't be a starting quarterback in this league. You have to win this game. You have to if we're anywhere.
This is the only team that he consistently beats.
Right. This is the only team that this organization consistently beats at this point. If you're anywhere worth your salt, this is a game that you win on Sunday, and your underdog's going into it.
Yeah, but to your point, Dave, we shouldn't be talking about the sixth overall pick struggling against a career backup 21 games into his NFL career. We shouldn't.
Well, that's my point, and that's why even at 1-7, guys, I really look at this game, and it just kind of dawned on me yesterday. This is a big game. This is a big game for the Giants organization. This is a big game for what direction they might go in the future, and this is a huge game for Daniel Jones.
Well, here's the thing, Dave. If they can't beat Washington, like you mentioned earlier, who on the remainder of their schedule are they going to beat? I mean, maybe the Dallas Cowboys at home, week 17? Maybe you put that out there?
I guarantee you if they would have the second pick cinched away, if they lose that game, they'll win that game. I promise you that. Daniel Jones goes, you know, for 370 and four touchdowns and momentum carrying into next year. I can hear it now.
You know what, Dave? That would be the game where Joe Judge executes Rick DiPietro's game plan. No. We're going to hold you accountable for the turnovers that you had down in Baltimore the week before. That's what we're going to do.
If
we're going to bench
14,
you. We're going to bench you.
Give him the Golden Tate treatment that day.
Yeah, but you know what? You want to know what? Like part of my thought process is to, you know, Joe Judge maybe, you know, sitting Daniel Jones down for a game. was just with how competitive the Giants have been, I feel like they're going to win too many games anyway to draft Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields.
Well, you can say that now, but if they don't beat Washington on Sunday, are you going to feel the same way on Monday?
Rick, who outside of this Washington
Jacksonville.
Well, they don't play Jacksonville.
They don't play Jacksonville.
Well, no, it's going to be – Jacksonville needs a quarterback. The Jets are going to have the first overall pick because they're not going to win a game. Even if you pick third, you're not going to get – it's going to be –
okay,
it'll be
but if
Lawrence
you lose
one,
on Sunday,
Fields two.
If you lose on Sunday, you could argue that you're not going to be picking third.
You'll probably be second, I think you're second. Yeah, you're picking second. Yeah.
You're going to beat the Cowboys. If you can't beat the Cowboys in week 17, stop.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Cowboys have quit.
Put Colt McCoy out there. Okay. Colt McCoy out there.
Will you agree that if you don't win this Sunday, it could come down to that Cowboys game?
It could.
Okay.
I like your chances against them, and I like your chances against the Eagles at home.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Eagles.
But the Eagles are healthier
Carson Wentz
now
is,
than they were 2 weeks
ago.
Well,
yeah, but Carson Wentz is still turning the football over. I don't care
how
healthy they are.
Listen, I don't think it's an impossibility.
Yeah, but your quarterback turns it over more than he does.
Yeah, this is a pillow fight. That's a pillow fight.
I don't think it's possible, but that's not a game that I look at and say the Giants will win. And I'll tell you what, there's no way the Giants will be favored going into that game.
No. No, not at all.
They're not favored in Washington. The only game they've won has been against Washington, and they're getting points in Washington.
So you find me the win. They go to Washington this weekend, then they host the Eagles. Then they go to the Bengals, which you say might be
all right. Well,
think
that's
easy,
the case.
It's not.
If that's the case, cause if that's the case, and that's really how you feel about the rest of the season, then clearly
Daniel Jones ain't your guy.
He's not your guy then.
Maybe he's not.
You've already made the decision. You've already made the decision. In your mind, subconsciously, you've already made the decision that Daniel Jones is not your guy moving forward.
Why?
So you better hope like
that
hell that they lose
all these games?
Then hope they lose every single one of these games then.
Oh,
so you have the ability
to
take
Justin
Fields.
Half a season.
Well, you just answered the question though. If you don't feel good about Daniel Jones going up against Kyle Allen in Washington with no home field advantage.
Do you?
Do I?
Yes.
No, I don't feel great about it, but this is my team.
Guys,
this is
my team. Guys, for a second here, take a step back and imagine what you guys are saying. Both New York football teams in a full regular season combined could only come up with one win.
We can't live in that world. That's not possible, what I'm saying. Right?
I don't think it's from an odd standpoint. Like it just feels like it's impossible.
If you combine both New York teams, they'd still have the first overall pick. What do you mean? No, they win. They'd have one win.
Oh, I thought you said if you actually combine them and played a full season, they'd still be the worst team in football.
No, no. At the end of the season, if you just combine the record, they'd have one.
Yes.
They'd still have the first overall pick.
Correct. It's a disaster. But I don't. I mean, I have no confidence the Giants go and win this game. Listen, last I saw Washington, I think this is the last.
You've answered your question.
So you don't think that
Daniel Jones is your quarterback?
Maybe I don't.
Offensively, your team is healthy. Your defense has been good. I mean, you're losing even the games you lose. You're losing by, you lost by a point to the Eagles. You lost by 2 points to the Bucs. You lost by three to the Cowboys game you should have won. You beat Washington. If you don't feel good, especially under the circumstances, there is no home field advantage. That you don't think he'll walk in there even with a good Washington defense and win that game, then you got
Am I wrong? Chris, you feel like the Giants go into that game and win it?
You're not wrong, and Vegas feels the same way. That's why Washington is favored by 2.5 points.
Yeah.
So,
because RJ tells us, and he'll join us at 10 o'clock and probably reiterate the point, home field's worth like a point now. It's not worth the typical three. So what he's saying, on a neutral field, Washington is is favored to beat the Giants.
Yeah.
So that's an indictment on how you feel about your quarterback, because your defense has been good.
Your defense has been excellent.
Your defense has been good. That's what's keeping you in these games. Because your offense still ain't great.
Not at all.
I mean, you're still point wise. You're 31st in the NFL. I mean, red zone wise, you're at the bottom of the league.
Yeah.
Do you realize that the Jets in the red zone are at 25%?
You know what I love about you? You always go back. Whenever we're talking about it, you always go, the Jets this and they stink and they this.
It's amazing to me. Because as bad as the Giants have been, right? They've had a hard time scoring points.
They're not the Jets.
Okay, but the offenses look better though. Chicago Bears, we hate them, right? Like, I'm considering taking Tennessee because I hate the Bears' offense.
Mm-hmm.
Even those two offenses in the red zone, the Bears are at almost 48%. The Giants are at 41%. The Jets are at 25%.
They're terrible.
25.
They are horrendous. All right, we got a break, but I want to spend like 2-3 minutes here. Did you read this article by, he's been on the show a bunch, David Schoenfield on ESPN.com? Major League Baseball insider. Terrific, right? We all like him. Does a really nice
job.
We
love him.
Yeah,
we love him.
The article is, what could these teams do, and what do I think these teams, in fact, will do? I'd love
to spend
the next
20 minutes. He listened to the show yesterday. Well, he listened to the show yesterday.
So he says what the Mets could do. They could sign Real Muto. They could sign Springer. They could sign Bauer. What I think they will do. Listen to this, Rick. Sign Springer.
We said
that. James McCann.
We said that.
John Lester. Re-sign Stroman. And trade for Lindor.
I love it.
I mean, love it. Could you imagine if that's the offseason they had?
Yeah, I could actually. Well, because you know, Cleveland's going to trade Francisco Lindor.
This Lindor thing is starting to get some legs. I think there's a good chance that Lindor is in a Mets uniform next season.
I don't know how the Yankees do it. Like, I know Kay wants it. I don't know how the Yankees would
well,
do it.
Well, of course you want it. He's a great player. But how do you do it?
If you're the Yankees, you get, again, I'll go back to the point I've made since you traded for him. Stanton complete. Bringing in Giancarlo Stanton has, as far as lineup flexibility, it's ruined that. And financial flexibility, it's ruined that. Because you're already paying him for the next 7 years.
Right.
You sign Cole to a humongous deal.
You're probably going to have to re-sign Judge, unless you're going to move on from
him. At some point, you're going to have to. I mean, if he stays healthy and is the player we all think he can be, you're
what are you
him.
Doing with LeMahieu?
LeMahieu, you'd have to, if you're getting Lindor, you'd have to move on from LeMahieu.
Okay, there you go. So is that what you want?
Well, no, but even if that's not what you want, it's a shit. Like, how much money you pay LeMahieu is still only a short-term commitment, right? It's a 3 or 4 year deal. I mean, Lindor is going to be getting what?
$300 million, 10 years, yeah. $300 million.
10, 12 million, 12 year deal. Mm-hmm. The Yankees going to have three guys on the team making that much? No.
No, I don't think they will.
Hide but the money, y'all. There's
it's realistic, Rick.
Around.
It's realistic. Springer, Lindor could be added to the Mets this offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a game changer, guys.
Of course it is. The second Steve Cohen got the team, we said it was going to be a game changer. This is what he wants to do. He said he has been on record saying he wants to be the East Coast version of the Dodgers. Well-run, smart, draft well, develop well, but then if you need a piece, you can go out and spend the money for it, which is what they did with Mookie Betts.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I just need to see it start happening. But this really is, it's unbelievable. It really is. If these things,
oh, dude,
if they had
it's
this
the
off-season,
best thing we have right now.
It's the only thing I have.
Oh, no, you got a beautiful wife and great kids. But
no,
they,
I'm talking
sports-wise.
About sports. I'm not talking about life outside of this. But
your mother's,
is a big
your mother's
part of my
well,
life.
By the way. If you're wondering, your mom is great.
Wow.
I'm not even going to dignify it. Like you just urinated on yourself again. Like, you verbally urinated on yourself.
It's not the first time. It won't
why
be the
would
last
you do that?
Time. I don't know. I just felt the need
bad
to do something.
Now,
like that.
Here's how out of it I am. I'm not sure if I did these two reads. I'm going to do them again. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance and all guests on DCR, PRV, the Shell, Pennzoil Performance Line. So now it is done. Big money is on the line with Mega Millions and Powerball. Both jackpots are over $140 million. You could become Jersey's next multimillionaire. After all, anything can happen in Jersey. Come back. Andy from Merrick is ready to go with a bevy of Football Friday questions. That's next. But first, Rick's going to tell us all about Dr. Pepper.
Have you ever, before I get into this read, have you ever seen Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn?
Yes.
Remember the part when he goes and sees his mom?
Yes.
And he's like, I wish we could just be friends. And Vince Vaughn's like, we were friends. We were best friends until you started dating my mom.
Yes.
Oh, it's too good.
Hey, Rick, I know you're huge into this, and as well you should be. The Michael Kay Show's 20 and 20 contest continues today at 3 o'clock. The Kay Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game over the years, and all you have to do is recognize their voice. They'll play you a soundbite. Did you hear yesterday's, by the way?
I did.
I almost. It's too easy. These are too easy.
I was surprised they didn't get that one.
Come on, it's so easy.
Well, it's not easy for everybody. I mean, you're speaking because it's easy for you.
They're doing Parcells. They're doing Coughlin. These are easy guys to recognize the voices.
Canty actually teared up when he heard it.
I don't blame him.
Canty loves Coughlin. Loves.
How could you not?
That's my guy, man.
How could you not?
You really can't. Like, he's got a certain presence about him, too. Like, it's hard not to like him.
You respect him, and you like him, and you exactly. want to see good things for him. All right, make sure you're listening for your chance to easily win any of these 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little bit more enjoyable. Today, the guys are giving away an Ion portable indoor-outdoor projector with a powerful speaker. It's the 2020 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand, and 98.7 ESPN. Did you see the guy that tweeted us a picture of Bart in a beret yesterday, by the way?
Yeah, I did. Hilarious.
Very, very, very well done. All right, let's bring him in, Mr. Optimism, Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. We got a big weekend this weekend, boys. Appointment radio at 10:30 Saturday, Stump Rothenberg.
Oh, thank you, Andy.
CC, Goldilocks, and Mr. T, Sunday's pregame show of record. And coming soon, Rico and Rocco, Dinner with the DiPietros. It'll be simulcast on ESPN The Ocho. Now, yeah,
unfortunately, his dinner can't be shown on television.
I am coming to you live from 970 ESPN Pittsburgh today. And in fact, I spoke with the icon of Pittsburgh sports radio, Stan Saverin. He wants no part of Dave Rothenberg. So, with that, I got four Pittsburgh Steeler questions for you boys. Ready?
Yes.
No, I can't get involved in this, Andy.
Oh, come on.
I know you have a conflict of interest, but we'll make this cavalier friendly. You wait.
All right.
Number one, boys, this organization. This organization was established by the Rooney family in 1933. However, they did not become the Steelers until 1940. What was the name of the Pittsburgh football franchise? CC, my man.
Nice.
Can't help himself.
Hey, 99. The last time the Steelers drafted somebody from the University of Virginia was 2005. Who was
it? Big money. Big money. Heath Miller.
Yes, two for two.
Chris Canty. Wahoo wah.
Canty for president 2024.
I'll let Canty handle all of these, actually. Watch Canty go 4-for-4. Go ahead.
With the Jets and Giants routinely picking in the top five of the draft every year, amazingly, the Steelers have not had a top five pick in the first round since 1970. Name the number one overall pick in the 1970 draft.
Come on, Chris.
Come
on.
Back to that.
He's on TV
every
Sunday.
Let me think. Now, listen, man. Just give me a second. Let me work through this now. Give me a second. 19, the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
1970, number one overall pick. Oh, Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw.
The original TB, the blonde.
No, you know what threw me off? Because I know Joe Green got drafted somewhere around there, too.
He wasn't
a number one pick, though.
Correct.
Yeah.
And finally, this Hall of Famer did not spend his whole career in Pittsburgh, but he does hold the NFL record with 12 interceptions for TDs.
Rod Woodson.
Name the Pittsburgh
Rod Woodson.
Rod Woodson's correct. Fellas, let's be careful out there. And as always, stay healthy, boys.
You see what he did, Rico? He couldn't let me run the table. He had to jump in there and do something.
I could not.
You couldn't let me do it.
He was disgusted with the question.
You're right. I couldn't. But on the same vein, seconds earlier, you're like, I refuse to answer these questions. And then you knew them all and you had to get involved. It's an addiction. When you have answers, you just got to blurt them out.
Well, trivia is fun, man. What do you want me to say? I don't
want to
apologize for it.
Nor should you.
So I can have fun.
You're terrific.
Could I get a caw quickly before we go to break?
Oh, no.
You're going to like this one, Dave. Andy Martino's reporting the sale of the Mets to Steve Cohen is very close to closing and is fully expected to get done today.
Oh, this is great news.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
Great.
There's got to be some hot stove news coming out of the weekend. Because you know Steve Cohen's going to hit the ground running. There's going to be a splash.
So now, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, UFC Fight Night presented by the U.S. Army on ESPN+. The main event features a light heavyweight battle between Thiago Santos and Glover Teixeira. That's tomorrow night at 7 exclusively on ESPN+. Visit ESPNplus.com to subscribe. One of my favorites. Let's bring him in. The great R.J. Bell. R.J., how you been?
I'm doing personally excellent.
Okay. let me just get to my notes here. Hang on a second. You and Canty had Detroit plus 2.5 last week. So
oh
Detroit
my
plus
God.
The points.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Unfortunately, they lost by 20.
Yeah.
That drops this dynamic duo like to 0-8 on the season.
Chris, I think we got to do something. Like,
we got to do something, RJ. Something has to happen.
But what I'm saying is maybe we do a $1,000 sprint and let's get some stakes on this thing, because and we can go through the Super Bowl, because I got to tell you, taking the intensity down has not helped you.
So this is all on me, RJ? You haven't been great with picks either.
How'd you do last
what happened
week?
What happened to the pick of the year, Browns Raiders? What happened to that?
No. I said one of the five best picks.
Come on, man. You know, all you're right. Whatever. Semantics, RJ. Semantics. You've been bad. I've been bad. Don't try to deflect this all on me.
Well, hold on a second.
I got to tell you, Chris is right, RJ. This is a duo, though. This is the two of you working together. And I agree with that.
That's been a disaster. I mean, you know, I usually don't fire people. And I'm not talking about Chris here, but I want to give you an example real quick. But one, because I usually just kind of start to be a tough boss and run them off, right? That's easier. And one time I finally had to fire a guy. And I walked in, and he was asleep, head down at the desk. So I'm like, okay, I think my decision was right. I'm somehow trying to stir Canty awake. Now, I'm not saying he's not participating in the show. It's just he doesn't seem to have it in him, the passion for the picks. Would you say that's true, Dave?
No. I will say this. I don't think he's as laser focused as he was when there was $5,000 on the line, but I think that he's not trying to lose. He doesn't want to be 0-8, so I think that's an unfair statement. And I think if you want to give him blame, I think he deserves blame. But RJ, I think you deserve blame as well.
How many did he win last week?
One.
Of the three he originally gave you, he went 1-2. And the one he really liked, you hated, and you made him pick this other game, and he went Detroit, and you loved it, and they lost by 20.
Whoa. I didn't love it. But this is what I was – I mean, I liked it. It was all right.
I liked Seattle last week, RJ, and you hated the pick.
You're right.
You hated it.
You're right. And I to be honest, it was a mistake. Obviously because it covered, but no, I'm saying as I kept digging into it, and we saw with the 49ers last night, obviously to some degree this team had its last hurrah in a way against the Rams, it looked, you know, and then here we are. This is what I'm going to say, and then we can move on, maybe provide some information to the audience, is I am 60% on the season documented at the biggest sports contest in the world. The fact that somehow, some way, the dynamic on this show leads to losers, I am going to let the audience again speak on that. That's no other comment.
All right, you're throwing Canty under the bus. I don't like it, but let's get
to
it.
Such a bad guy.
It could be Dave. And I mean,
how is it me? How can you blame me for the fact that you two are 0-8?
It's just, don't you know that there's sometimes a winning environment and sometimes there's a losing environment? The energy is just negative with you, man.
Oh, you are a piece of work. All right, so...
By the way, let's put the 0-8 record on the line. At what point are you going to mention I gave a winner on the Saturday show?
You gave the Giants plus whatever the number was going to be.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah,
I typically would mention that on the next Saturday show.
Now, listen, let me say this. Did you hear what Mr. Michael Kay said about you?
Did you hear what he said about you?
Yeah. We're on the outs. I mean, I don't think he wants to see me get mad. That's all I'm going to say.
Listen, let's make nice.
I just want to see you get a pick right with our George pick. That's all I want, RJ. All
right. Chris, the floor is yours. Give RJ your three picks of the week, and let's let him cobble through and find a winner here.
Okay, RJ, my first pick of the week is the Bills as a home dog getting 3 points against the Seahawks. My second pick of the week is my Ravens laying 1.5 on the road in Indy. And my third pick are the Buccaneers at home laying 4.5 against the Saints.
All right. Well, I actually like Tampa Bay to win the Super Bowl, but I don't like them laying over a field goal. I mean, the Saints, all that narrative about Drew Brees and his arm and all that, I mean, they're playing pretty well. So I'm gonna throw that one off to the side. Though maybe I should just go with that one. No, because then it gets, okay. What was the other one?
Ravens laying a point and a half on the road in Indy.
Are we sure that line's right? I'm going to take a gander at that as we're talking.
I have a pick 'em on pregame.com right now.
Ooh, so this baby's moving. Because early in the week, it was Colts are getting points.
Ravens opened up at 4. Now it's a pick 'em.
Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, I lean that way, to be honest, but I like the other game more.
The Bills?
So yeah, I like the Bills.
Okay.
I think Seattle.
I like that game, too.
To me, Seattle is still the most overrated team. I mean, they had a nice win last week, but the red zone conversions are just amazing. They've had a bunch of four-point plays effectively, touchdowns instead of field goals. And I know how good Russell Wilson is, and if you look at the advanced stats, he is the best quarterback. He's better this year statistically, better than Mahomes, better than Aaron Rodgers. And they did, actually one quick question. Seattle picked up at least one key defensive guy, if I recall. Did you have a take on that, Chris?
Dunlap and Jamal Adams are both expected to play.
All right, so Adams was just an injury, but I thought during the trade deadline.
Dunlap.
Okay. Now, do you think that's meaningful?
Yeah, I think that's impactful, yeah.
All right, so maybe I got to I still am going to go with the Bills, but I might have to reevaluate my general thoughts on Cincinnati or on Seattle.
All right, so I'm writing this down now. Buffalo.
He's mailed it in. He's officially
Buffalo
mailed it in.
Plus 3. Done. Locked away, yes?
Can you hear the TV?
Now RJ is now actively trying to get the picks wrong.
No.
He is, Rick.
That would be crazy.
But you can't. People can't do this. RJ, you can't go 0-8.
Listen, it's happened. We're gonna go back in time. I've never gone to 0-5 in my life, to be honest. I don't think. But
so RJ, let me ask you a question. Of the three games that I gave you, you actually like the Bills getting the 3 points against the Seahawks. You actually like that game.
That's probably my fourth or fifth best game.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Listen.
I never loved the Seahawks more than I do at this very
moment. I bet if we did a poll on that, it'd be like 70% on your side, Dave. Did you guys ever see the movie that William H. Macy was in? It was about old Vegas. The Cooler, exactly. Yes. Okay, Canty the Cooler. That's how I see it at this point.
But here's what I don't understand. The two of you have opened up like a corporation together. This is a joint venture.
It's bankrupt.
The fact that it's 0-8, why are you blaming Chris for all of the ales here?
I mean, I don't think you understand. I mean, this is – what did you get on your SATs, Dave?
1380.
Ooh, not good. All right.
What do you mean not good?
I mean, maybe around your – where'd you grow up?
Long Island.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I like Long Island.
What did you get?
No, I was going to say I was hoping it was a place I could kind of make it say, like Buffalo or something. But no, all right. Listen, all I'm going to say is this. If you give me three things and I got to pick amongst them, and this season Dave's or Canty's what, maybe 22% on his picks?
He's 7
it's
and
bad.
17.
It's not good, RJ.
7 and 17. All right. So how am I supposed to, think about this a second. That mathematically, it would have been impossible for me to even win some weeks. We're 8 weeks in, he only has 7 wins.
Some weeks, it would be mathematically impossible. But it doesn't mean you should be 0-8.
You do realize that if you're flipping a coin, a drunk baby flipping a coin wins 50% of the time, picking Chris Canty's picks are 31%.
Okay, and you're at 0.
I mean, I'm not saying that's good. I'm saying it's almost impossible to win when he never wins. And the funny thing is, everywhere else I'm doing great. Saturday, Mr. Michael K., though somehow losing 2 out of 3 is killing.
Oh, he is not happy with
me. Oh, my gosh. Then I asked him, how much would you bet that you would really feel pain? He goes, $5.
Yeah, he feels everything. He feels everything.
Why did he say that about you, though?
Well, he loves me. Whatever he says, don't believe it. All right, so Giants and Washington. Open up, Washington was 3.5. Now it's down to 1 on your site. We mentioned earlier on the show, if the Giants can't win this game, when can they win? Do you like the Giants here this week?
No, I actually like Washington a little bit here. And again, I am not sure. It just feels like, first off, let me ask you a question. Why are the Giants losing so many close games?
They keep turning the ball over in huge spots.
Yeah, but under that theory, that's why maybe the game's close. but they still have a chance to win at the end of these games.
Plays. I mean, it wasn't turnovers. It was turnovers. There's two huge turnovers, but it's also if Daniel Jones throws the ball when he's supposed to throw it or where he's supposed to throw it, that game's tied up going to overtime.
I guess what I'm saying is when you have a game around Pick'em, and you have, I mean, it's the same thing, you know, on the Super Contest last week, I had the Chargers, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, Anthony Lynn and me are irredeemable. And I listen, any Belichick guy, though he wasn't particularly experienced judge, you know, a young guy, but you got to think he's pretty decent in a lot of ways, but I worry about these close losses, and I think Washington thinks they can win the division. The Giants don't have any division aspirations, realistically. Washington does. Yeah, I like Washington. By the way, I got a great prop bet. I really think this is special. You ready for this?
All right, write this down.
Yeah, hold on. Dave loves props. What do you got?
This is the Saints in Tampa Bay.
Okay.
All right, here's what we're going to do. This is going to be a hedge fund, hedge two picks. All right. One is we're going to go over in receptions, Antonio Brown. Over.
What's the number on that?
We're guessing it's going to be out on Friday. Or I'm sorry, it's going to be out end of day Friday today.
Okay.
We're guessing if we're lucky, it's 3, likely 3.5.
All right.
All right. Then we're going under Antonio Brown yards.
Wow.
Now, here's why. Chances are we're going to split out. But we think there's a much better chance of going 2-0 than 0-2. The reason being that you know the Bucs don't want Antonio Brown to have no catches, or because it's going to be the lead story on GetUp. It's going to be so I think there's at least 2 or 3 passes throughout the game that are little dump offs. You know, little. Remember when Harold Carmichael had his 115 game. Catch streak, and then there's 4 minutes left. What do? They throw a screen to the guy. I think that there's a situation where the yards might not be good, but the receptions are, and chances are we're just risking the VIG.
Okay. So over the catches, under the yardage.
Yep.
Got it.
All right, RJ, you're my resident Pittsburgh Steelers guy.
Yes.
Big win against Baltimore. They didn't play well against Baltimore, and Mike Tomlin has said as much. 14 points is a lot of points, but Dallas stinks. We don't know who's playing quarterback. How do you feel about this game?
Was DiNucci that bad?
DiNucci was bad, yeah.
Yes.
Horrendous.
I mean, better than like your fourth quarter. Like if you just randomly had the fourth quarterback is better than DiNucci. Huh. All right. So this is what I would say. One, Dallas is pretty much would be pick 'em right now against the Jets. So that's pretty shocking, but here we go. At least Jets have that going for them. They are the first team, Dallas, ever to go 0-8. Now, follow me here. The first 8 weeks of the season. There's two other teams.
Against the spread.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Against the spread. The first, there's three other teams that started 0-8, but they all had a bye, so it was in 9 weeks or whatever. Here, literally, 8 straight losers against the spread never has happened. So, I mean, this is like history how bad Dallas is. I also think you could make the case that Monday Night Football, they're losing in the second half. They didn't have any fight in them. I mean, they weren't going to win the game, but they still can play hard. And then the famous, you know, obviously Andy Dalton gets whacked and everyone kind of sits around shrugging. You know, I mean, obviously they played as hard, I guess, hard you'll call it against Philly, but I want no part of this Dallas team. The last thing I'll say is, as a Steelers fan, what people might not realize is if you ask the Steelers who the rivals are, probably the fourth or fifth is Dallas because of Super Bowl 10, 13, and 30. So I'm not sure if that helps Pittsburgh like get up for a game because Tomlin is no good on the road as a favorite historically. I'm going to pass it.
RJ, I want to ask you about a sneaky good game, the Dolphins and the Cardinals. Right now I've got the Cardinals laying 4.5 at home. They're coming off a bye week. Last time we saw them, they beat Seattle in overtime. Miami's coming off of an impressive win in Tua Tagovailoa's first start. How do you see this game playing out?
I got to learn how to pronounce Tua's last name. All right. Did you spend any time on that, Chris, or did just How'd that work for you?
No, I just said his name.
It's one of his hidden talents. He's not gonna tell you.
He's a wordsmith.
Yeah, he's really good with names.
Well, I hear some skepticism in the crowd there. I love the under in this game. And my rationale is this. If you look at expected points added, which is a very respected advanced analytic, and look at the last three games, all right? Because I like to look at the season, and then I like to look at trend lines. And it just happened that the Dolphins got a key player back on defense three games ago. And in these three games, the Dolphins had double the best offense than the second best, meaning that the expected points added for the second best defense during these three games was 0.2 per play, and for Miami it was 0.4. I've never seen that before. This Miami's D is playing awesome. They're actually leading the league in points allowed the whole year, but people aren't talking about it. And I think last week we got the camouflage, because this is amazing. Is the Rams had a return touchdown. That's one. Miami had two. And Miami had a one-yard touchdown off a turnover and a 30, I think it was eight-yard. So literally there were five touchdowns between the two teams that had less than 40 yards gained. So it looked like it was it went right up to the total. It was like 46 was the total. I think it fell 44. And I think it's covering up that Tua is not near what Fitzpatrick is right now. He might be in a couple weeks. He isn't right now. And the Miami D is playing great. So I like the under. And Arizona's is more of a running team than a throwing team. And I know it doesn't seem like it, but it's true under in that game. And it's 49 and a half. Yes.
Yep. 59.5 would be unbelievable.
So let me ask you this, RJ. Would you take the Arizona Cardinals and lay the 4.5, or would you lean toward Miami?
I would take Arizona if I had to, just because I think Tua, I think he's worth a minus 3 points, 4 points.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not sure. Is there any quarterback worse than him? I know Minshew's not playing this week, but was the stash actually worse than Tua? I think Tua was the worst quarterback. I mean, probably the second worst since Alex Smith.
Yeah, he didn't look good in his one game, but it's his first game ever.
Yeah, but in general, first games are usually better than second games. Because once they get film on you for a couple games, the defense has an advantage until the number of games and experience starts over. So it's kind of an ebb and flow. The first game helps the initial starter.
Yeah, but he hadn't played a game in over a year. I mean, that's a true point.
So why is Miami putting him out there when they're in the playoff race?
They want to see what he is.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, I have a quick question.
Exactly.
I have a quick question. Sam Darnold. Now, he's renowned.
This is right up Rick's alley. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's renowned, is my understanding, that the Jets believe if he misses practice time, he really struggles. He needs his reps. Would you say that's a fair belief?
If he plays in a game, he struggles. Yeah, I don't care how many reps there are. Yeah,
fair enough. Oh, boy, you guys have turned on him, huh? All right. So he missed practice this week. But, Adam Gase is saying, well, if he can play, he's going to play no matter. You know, it seemed like he's going to play, right? Why? Because, one, if you're going for the number one.
We spent 20 minutes on this to open the show.
All right, so what was the answer?
We have no idea.
Yeah, because it seems like you do realize, Dave, that, most radio listeners listen like for 3 minutes at a time. They're not like camped out listening to every word Dave
says.
Our
show's different, actually.
Yeah, don't underestimate our listeners.
All right. No, I was saying it's just normal radio. It wasn't you guys. It's just radio.
Taking shots at us.
No, it's not shots. It's all right. So
I
guess.
Our TSL is through the roof.
I guess
never
what
seen
you're
numbers
saying.
Like that.
What's going on?
They haven't seen numbers like
that. Just radio. Yeah. Radio lingo.
Jargon, yeah.
Jargon,
well,
yeah.
I mean, listen.
Cume, TSL,
I mean, obviously the 9-11 slot is, we're...
Very important slot. Very important slot.
All right. Anyway, I don't get it with the Jets, and it makes me suspicious, but I got another pick I love. I'm just going to just...
All right, here's the thing. I was going to tee you up. Is this the pick of the week? I want to set you up, and I want to be fair and accurate. 8 weeks in... You and Canty 0-8. You on your own on an island, 2-6 after Cleveland.
That's not true, is it? 2-6.
Yeah. 2-6 after Cleveland's debacle. But
I guess people can get discombobulated.
You're all discombobulated. Focus. Start to pick winners. Starts now. Go ahead.
Okay. I love the Jets under team total. It might be too sophisticated for this show.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean under team total?
All right, so so every team has an over-under, right? So if you look at the game, it's got an over-under, right? So the Jets, Patriots, the over-under is 42, right? But each team has an over-under. And you can actually figure it out even before it comes out. You just subtract out the spread, then take that remainder, divide by two, then add the spread back in for the favorite, and you got it. And thus, the Jets are going to be around 17 to 18 points, right. 17 probably.
So do we have this number yet, or is it not out?
It's out Friday. I love it. I think since we're on the schneid, we probably should just – and plus it's a Monday game. You'll have something to talk about. I think that's the way to go. But if you want to force me off it,
listen, you're desperate, and we get it.
It's true.
If you need to go under Jets team total – to try to make hay here, we're all about it. Is that where you want to go?
Yes. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand how it's so sophisticated, though. I mean, 17 well, most points, people the Jets have only scored that twice this year.
No, I didn't mean it was an advanced
Maybe
bet.
Maybe he's getting to the number.
I was saying a bet type, right? Oh, okay. Like, people don't bet team totals. I mean, have you ever bet a team total?
No.
See? Sophisticated.
See?
Just because he's never done it doesn't make it sophisticated.
What are you trying to say?
He's never jumped out of an airplane either. Doesn't make it sophisticated.
Are you trying to say he's a Philistine? Like, there's all kind of things he's done that's like very basic. He hasn't done that's very basic.
How many millions of dollars can't he make? You have lost it today.
Why?
I don't know. It's a question for you.
What you mean? Because I'm saying that I think Chris is cultured. I lost it.
You're crazy.
Let me ask,
under the team total is your pick of the week.
And I need just 30 seconds. Have you guys ever heard of a radio show in LA? It's off the air now, Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
Okay. They made the both of them Radio Hall of Fame. You know, I did that show 6 years. I got more grief today than 6 years on Kevin and Bean.
Why do you think they're not on the air anymore?
Well, why do you think they're in the Radio Hall of Fame and you're not?
It's probably the closest you ever come to a bean. I can tell you that.
a beam like a beam that you'd have up on your ceiling? What are you talking about?
He's not going to expand on that. RJ, we love you. I will talk to you tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock.
All right. I'm not feeling much love, but bye.
Bye. That is RJ Bell. He's very defensive, huh?
Well, he was Adam Gase. He was Adam Gase today. Not my fault. Yeah. Canny's fault.
Blame him.
Calling me all under the bus, man. I picked 60% winners this season.
Yeah, listen, combination with you, he's 0-8, and all on his own, he's 2-6.
If Adam Gase and Mike Singletary had a baby, it would be RJ Bell right now.
All right, let's take a quick break.
I want guys that are going to win.
winners. Paul Feinbaum is going to join us. We'll get into the Notre Dame and Clemson. Huge game of the week.
Andrew Siciliano's dad, Paul Feinbaum, right?
I don't understand. What does that mean? Google. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah, got it. Takes a second. Yes, A.S.'s dad, Paul Feinbaum, will join us. Right here. We here at 98.7 ESPN are very thankful for the amazing men and women of the armed forces who have served our country and the incredible sacrifices that they have and continue to make. I want to recognize your loved ones this Veterans Day, this coming Wednesday. Send us an email at 98.7fm@espn.com, including their name, where they're from, and the branch of military that they represent. Again, that's 98.7fm@espn.com. We'll shout out your loved one's name on air this Veterans Day to the men and women who have served and are still serving. 98.7 ESPN thanks you for continuing to defend our freedom. Let's bring him in. I mean, the one and only, Paul Feinbaum. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you, fellas?
We're doing well. It's a little feisty today, so if it gets a little uproarious, I apologize in advance. But let's start with and I know we want to get into the Clemson game and what's going on with Wisconsin. But
and by the way, before we start, I'm not talking about Virginia, so you can take that one out of the.
Come on, Paul! That was a big win for us last week. Come on now.
I owe you an apology. I'll go ahead and do it. I mean, I wrote your program off, so congratulations, my man.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Paul.
All right, very nice. So, Michigan. Paul, Are they just are they fraudulent? Like how long at this point can Harbaugh continue to coach this team? And I know it's a pandemic, and I know expectations are different. They're a 22-point favorite over Michigan State last week, and they lost this game. It's another failed season of Michigan football.
Yeah, I said somewhere this week that Harbaugh and Michigan need an amicable divorce, and then a friend called me and said, have you ever been divorced? I said, no. He said, there's no such thing as an amicable divorce. So, I mean, they need to separate. I don't care how they do it. It's just not working, and I think Harbaugh's best route is the NFL. Now, the question is, you know, can he get a job in the NFL? I mean, it seems like it's not that hard to get one based on the coach of the Jets. So, he has no path there. His contract runs out at the end of next year. He has not been extended. I can't imagine he will be unless somehow he beats Ohio State, which is not happening.
Paul Feinbaum joins us here on the show. Paul, this actually really aggravated me, and I don't usually get too riled up, but what Dan Mullen did, I mean, it was disgusting. And how he reacted to it after the game, too, it rubbed me the wrong way. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, it's been the story of the week, especially in the South. And you know, he was fined $25,000. You know, listen, for a guy that makes $5 million a year, that's not going to really set him back too much. And yeah, it was inexcusable. And you know, for those who didn't see it, the quarterback at Florida was hit after the late. It was a late hit. Should have been called. Wasn't called. Mullen runs out there. It's one thing to run out there and try to, you know, make sure your players are okay, but he ran out there like a lunatic. And then he came back, and what he did afterwards, which really upset people, remember, this is Saturday night, Halloween. He shows up at his post-game press conference with a Darth Vader costume on, and he never took it off. And he said, listen, I promised my son I would do this, and you know, I want to be a good dad, which, you know, hey, great. You know, give the guy an award. But it was the wrong time to say that. And it has really upset a lot of folks. And, of course, Georgia, they have Georgia this weekend, which is, you know, the second biggest game of the year, the second biggest game of the weekend. And by the way, if that's the only thing Dan Mullen had ever done wrong, but let's go back a month when he lost to Texas A&M. And he said, you know, it's ridiculous how many people they had here. He said, our governor down in Florida says we can have full capacity. So we need to fill the swamp with 90,000 people next week. And before the next week even came, he had 30 players with COVID, and he was in isolation. So I know there are people in politics who have had worse weeks than Dan Mullen, but not many.
Paul, speaking of the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, I mean, the loser of this game is essentially out of the SEC championship game, out of contention for the college football playoff. Who comes out on top on Saturday and why?
That is the most difficult question I've had to answer in a while, because you know, Georgia on paper should win the game. They're favored, but they lost Richard LeCount, who's their best defensive player. The second best defensive player is also out. And the only thing they have at Georgia is a defense, because their offense is just pedestrian. I'm still leaning toward Georgia a little bit. And by the way, there's no reasonable explanation except that Florida's defense is about as bad as Georgia's offense. And, you know, but if you haven't seen Kyle Trask play yet this year, guys, I mean, this is a guy that never started in high school, didn't start in college until Felipe Franks was injured a year ago. And he has turned into a brilliant quarterback.
Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Game of the weekend, Clemson-Notre Dame under the lights in South Bend tomorrow night. Obviously, the story about that is Trevor Lawrence not going to play. We're going to see the backup quarterback, whose name I will not attempt at this very moment. Couple of questions. A, who do you like in this game? And B, if Clemson loses, are they still in position to make it to the college football playoff in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. And by the way, the name I have written in my studio about 15 different places, and no matter when I'm on, it's one of the most difficult names I've ever challenged. I mean, it took me 3 years to learn how to say Tagovailoa. And I still like Clemson, and the problem with Clemson, you know, they have a couple of defensive players out, but they're a very deep team, and you know, the quarterback is quite good. He came in last week, and even though they fell behind by three touchdowns to BC, they came back and won, and he looked brilliant. He really did. Now Notre Dame's different; they have a really good defense, but I'm just hard for me to buy into anything that Brian Kelly is selling.
he's a good coach. Really good. His record's tremendous. He's like 22-3 over the last two seasons. But guys, at Notre Dame, he's never beaten a top five team. Never. Wow. That's what he is measured on. And every time he loses one of these games, we go, why can't he win one of them? And it's hard for me to buy into this is going to be any different. About the second part of your question, though, is the game, if Clemson loses, they're still in good shape. The reason is simple. They play Notre Dame again at the end of the season, the ACC championship game.
So this is one of the times where it benefits Notre Dame to be in the ACC as opposed to being independent.
Definitely, because even if Notre Dame loses this game and it's a 3-point game, they would still have a shot, and they may gain more from beating Trevor Lawrence at the end of the season, the day before the announcement of the committee of the playoff. Yeah. The reason why Notre Dame and Clemson are both contenders is that the Big 12 choked out last week again. Oklahoma State was the last remaining team. It's hard to have a lot of faith in the Pac-12. Finishing the season with six, they have a six game season, let alone anyone looking good enough. So the ACC is really on a big stage this weekend.
And Paul, I was just going to ask you that question about the Pac-12. Is there a team that's capable of putting together an impressive stretch of games of six games in order to make a case for the college football playoff?
It's possible. I talked to Mario Cristobal last night from Oregon, and I think his team has won. They lost Justin Herbert, obviously, but they're still a really good team. And I would also think SC has a chance. But a Pac-12 team is going to need to look very impressive for six games, be impressive in the Pac-12 championship game, and then hope that somebody gets tripped up along the way. And maybe Clemson wins tomorrow and then beats Notre Dame again. The Alabama I think is already in, and then you have maybe Georgia, Florida cancel each other out, because otherwise there may not be a path for a six game conference schedule to be enough.
All right, Paul, listen, we appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend of college football. Should be a pretty good weekend. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, guys. Always enjoy.
Absolutely. That, of course, the terrific and talented Paul Feinbaum. Now, today on ESPN Daily, months before Brian Pata hoped to be selected in the NFL draft, he was shot and killed. Hear why his murder has remained unsolved for 14 years and what might change that. It's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, we want to remind you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. As we gear up for another football weekend, started last night in what was a destructive game, Green Bay all over San Francisco, a game you could have had, Rick, and you decided for some unknown reason, 11th hour, that you didn't want to get involved
myself,
with that one.
Yeah. I tried to
push you there. Like, take
no,
it.
No, I know,
it.
But I thought if you'd push me too, and the fact that Canty's been struggling, that you jump on board too, and you didn't jump on.
I can't
on,
do the Thursdays.
Well, I know, made me nervous. I panicked.
Yeah.
And I regret it.
All right, but what you don't regret is leading our selection so far this year. Oh, the NFL music. You lead at 11-12-1, which is nothing to write home about, but still a good week this week, and you're above 500. I'm 10-14. Chris is 7-17. But Chris is going to start to turn things around this week as well. So, Rick, because you are leading the pack, you're in control of the board, would you like to go first, second, or third?
I would like to go third, David.
All right, Chris, I'll go first or second. It's up to you.
Your call, Dave.
I'll start. Let me confirm the spreads as I run through these games. Everyone said they were done, and all of a sudden, it doesn't feel like they are. I think actually an outside shot at the postseason, and with Dalvin Cook back, that's a different football team. Matthew Stafford's on a COVID-19 list. I don't know if he's going to play this week or not. I have Minnesota -4. Rick, is that what you're working with right now as well?
That is what I'm working with, yes.
I'm going to take that game. I really like that game. In Minnesota, Cousins 1 o'clock. We've been over that a million times. Played a terrific game. Maybe saved their season last week. I'll take Minnesota. Give the 4 against Detroit. Miami's terrific defensively. But if you watch Tua and you really watched closely last week, he didn't look very good. Now, terrific defensively against Jared Goff and the Rams, good. Can you do it on the road in Arizona against Kyler Murray and that offense? I don't think so. I'll take Arizona I'll lay the 4.5. I think they beat them by a touchdown or more. And lastly, RJ said you can't take this team. I'm probably making a dumb selection in doing so. But the Chargers are better than the Raiders. And you're going to have growing pains when you have a young quarterback. I believe in Herbert. Jacobs just popped up on the injury report, so I don't know what the deal with him is going to be. I don't think Las Vegas is much of a football team. I think they're very, very average. I think the Chargers are a better team. I get them at a pick 'em. I'll take that. I'll take the Chargers at a pick 'em. So my three games, Minnesota -4, Arizona -4.5, and the Chargers at a pick 'em.
All right. For my three picks, you guys already heard them, but I'll give them to you again. I like Buffalo as a home dog getting 3 against the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle is a good team, but they play a lot of close games, and at some point you're going to find yourself on the losing side of them. So even though they're getting healthy, I just feel like the Bills, after getting over that mental hurdle that is the New England Patriots, they're going to be coming into this game with a lot of confidence. So I like Buffalo at home. For my second game, even though Lamar Jackson looked awful against the Steelers last week, I just got to believe that he'll find a way to bounce back. And I know they got some injuries along the offensive line and some guys dealing with some COVID concerns, but John Harbaugh, he's a great coach, and he usually gets his team to respond, especially after a loss. So I like them on the road in Indy, laying the 1.5. And then for my last pick, RJ tried to talk me off it, but I'm not going to get talked off it this week. I'm going with the Buccaneers at home in a must-win game against the Saints because the Saints beat them in week one. They're trying to lock up that NFC South, and it's Antonio Brown's debut. They didn't look good on Monday night, but they still found a way to win that game. I think they look a lot better. I think this is going to be a performance kind of like we saw them against the Green Bay Packers a few weeks ago. So I like the Bucs laying the 4.5.
I got to tell you, Chris, I really like your picks this week. I think it's going to end this week.
What numbers on the Ravens? Dave. What number do you have on the Ravens?
He gave a 4.5. I actually have a pick 'em on pregame.
Okay, I'll take the pick 'em.
Okay, pick 'em. And what is the Bucs? I had a higher number for the Bucs. What do you have for the Bucs?
On pregame.com, I have also 4.5.
You have 4.5?
Yep.
Bucs -4.5. I hate when – see, this is why I have to have 15 picks because Canty's got me all confused because he ends up having picks that
no,
I like.
No, what you have to do, whatever you like, you go with. Don't let Chris positively or negatively affect your selections.
Well, he's negative because I should have taken the Packers last night. All right, here we go. I am going to take – I'm also going to take the Baltimore Ravens. I like them to bounce back. Let's not forget, too, if it wasn't for Lamar Jackson's turnovers in that game, they win that game.
Yep.
Phillip Rivers with pressure, he will turn the football over, so I'll take the Ravens. I like that game. I also like Tennessee to bounce back. You know I hate the Bears' offense. I will take Tennessee. What do you have that at, -6?
Tennessee currently is... I have it at 6.5.
Okay, Tennessee -6.5.
Yep.
And then for my last pick...
No analysis. Just you're just throwing it out there.
What?
The Tennessee
game. No one else.
No analysis. Typically, you...
Well, no, I just gave you the analysis. They got embarrassed. They just got embarrassed. They're home, going up against the Chicago Bears team, who has a good defense,
yep.
But I hate their offense.
It's brutal.
It's brutal.
Yep,
so
I agree.
I like teams that are well-coached. They come off disappointing losses. That's why I like the Ravens, too. I think the Ravens bounce back.
Okay.
And for my final pick, I'm between two. 14 points is a lot of points. But, I mean, I can't imagine Dallas doing anything against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'll lay the 14.
Ooh, that's a big number.
Oh, was that, or was going to go head-to-head against Canty and take the Seahawks?
Just because?
Well, I actually like Seattle.
Oh, you do like Seattle.
I like Seattle.
All right, so there you go. You got Baltimore to pick them, Tennessee -6.5, and Pittsburgh laying 2 full touchdowns and 2 extra points, laying the 14 against Dallas. You think the Giants win this weekend, Chris?
They better. I think that's the only way to put it, right, Dave? They got to win.
The better is right.
And we got some serious questions about Daniel Jones. Yeah, they have to win.
Again, you just heard RJ. He says he loves Washington in this game.
Well, Dave, let me tell you something. If they go down there and we're talking about Washington winning that football game, we're also talking about the Giants looking forward to the draft and potentially getting a new quarterback.
I agree. If they go 1-15, 2-14, Daniel Jones will not be.
If you don't think that Daniel Jones can go into Washington and beat Kyle Allen, then Daniel Jones is not your quarterback.
I think he can, but I wouldn't bet on it. I mean, it's basically a pick'em game, Rick. Why would I believe that he can go in there and be? I think he can, but I don't know that he does.
you're going up against the quarterback who R.J. Bell calls dolphin hands because all he does is fumble. You should like your chances in that game, especially because Daniel Jones hasn't lost the Redskins, the Washington football team.
I like the chances, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Have some confidence in your team.
They're 1-7.
How can you have confidence in the Giants?
This is DPietro, Candy, and Rothenberg.
They're 1-7.
Mornings at 9.
Coming off an all
the only team they beat.
ESPN.
This is the only team they beat. It's a valid point.